Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, that's where we're going to be in God's Word today. And we're going to look at a message that deals with a sower, a seed, and some soil. I know it sounds like we're fixing to get into some agriculture here. I know the farmers are like, hey, this message is for me. But this message is for everybody. And, you know, throughout the Bible, we hear a word used over and over again, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament or even in the book of Psalms. We see this one word over and over again in the Bible, and it's the word heart. We see it in the Bible over and over again. Now, we know that within our physical bodies, we have this organ that pumps blood, and it's called the heart. Does anybody here go to the heart doctor at least once a year? Okay. Me too. Okay. I go to the heart doctor once a year, and I remember one of the first times I went to the heart doctor, it was because of my dad. You know, he passed away of a heart attack, so I have a family history of that. But I went to the heart doctor because I couldn't have surgery on my shoulder because they found something in my blood work they didn't like. It's called triglycerides. Guys, don't you just love that word? Triglycerides. It's such a scary word, especially when the number's really high. It is really scary. But anyway, so I had to go to the heart doctor, and he had to help me get a handle on that. And so ever since then, that's been 7 or 8 years now, but ever since then, I go to my heart doctor once a year. And last year I went, and he made me go do this scan, and so he took these pictures of my heart, and he showed me these pictures of my, you know, my arteries and what's on the inside and what's on the outside. And I like it when my heart doctor comes in and says, see you next year. I like it when he does that. Like, that makes me feel so much better, right? And so we spend so much time, don't we, taking care of this thing in our bodies called the heart. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I absolutely want to do that. I'm going to keep going to him every year if he'll let me keep coming, right? Because it's important to me, right? But I think so many times we focus on the physical and we don't care a thing about the spiritual. And we need to be careful. I want to read a passage to you this morning. It's not a passage that I put on the screen, but it's a passage that I have been thinking about. And I want you to hear this, okay? Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want you to hear what the Bible says about you and me. Here's what it says. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. So right here in Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, we see this word heart. And we're going to see it again in the New Testament over and over again. We're going to see it throughout the Gospel of Luke, as a matter of fact. But here's what I want you to know, okay? That word heart, it has a meaning. So in the Bible, what is that meaning? What's the predominant meaning of the word heart? Well, I love what the Holman Bible Dictionary says. So let me help you with that definition. The Holman Bible Dictionary defines heart as the center of physical, mental, and spiritual life of human beings. It is the seat of our intellect. It is connected to our thoughts and our actions. So in the Bible, predominantly, when we see the word heart, it's not talking about this organ in your body that is pumping blood to the rest of your body. It's talking about the center of who you are, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's what it's talking about. And this definition makes perfect sense when you look at some very important scriptures. One of them, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that I just shared with you. But did you know what Proverbs 4:23 says? There was a wise, wise man. As a matter of fact, the wisest man who's ever lived other than Jesus Christ. It was King Solomon. You know what King Solomon said in Proverbs 4:23? He said, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. He wasn't talking about the organ in your body pumping blood. He was talking about the center, the core of who you are as a human being. He's talking about your physical, mental, and spiritual all wrapped up. The center, the seat of your intellect, of all that you are. Jesus said something about it too in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, we just studied this a few weeks ago in Luke chapter 6. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This organ in your body is full of blood. Okay? That's all. He's talking about the core of who you are physically, mentally, and spiritually. And we see that very clearly. So in this passage today in Luke chapter 8, we're going to be talking about the heart. That's the predominant meaning of the passage today. It's the heart. We're going to see the heart of Jesus' kingdom ministry, proclaiming the good news, right? That's what we're going to see. And we're going to see the hearts of man, how some have received the good news and how others have rejected the good news. So you ready? Let's look at it. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. That's where we're going to start. The Bible says, after this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another. And what was he doing? Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Look at this. The 12 were with him. Who's he talking about? The disciples. But look at this. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So before we get to the parable, I want you to see what Luke does here. What Luke does is he shows us Jesus' heart. And here it is. Telling people the good news was the heart of Jesus' ministry. Do you hear me? Telling people the good news was the heart of Jesus' ministry. You say, Brother Jeff, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Jesus came to this world to reveal the love of God to you and me. He came to reveal the love of God to you and me. And that is the good news. You want to know why? Because we are sinners. And guess what our sin has done? Paul tells us this in Romans. Guess what our sin has done? It has separated us from God. And there's nothing that you and I can do in our very best efforts. There's nothing you and I can do to be right with God. But God, amen? Because God saw us in our sinful state, in our sinful condition, and God says, I will do it. And so God came to us in flesh, and his name is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And we see it in the Gospels. Jesus came preaching a message much like John the Baptist preached. You know what John the Baptist preached? Repent and believe. Well, guess what Jesus preached? Repent and believe. Why? Because God loves you. And God has made a way for you to be forgiven and set free from the penalty and the bondage of sin and be his child. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ, his heart was to proclaim the good news to all people. In Luke chapter 4, we already read this, but Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news. So Jesus tells us from the very beginning why he came. He came to proclaim the good news of God. That is, God loves you, and God has made a way for you to be right for him. That's why Paul says in Romans, right? In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news, amen? Because like I said, the bad news is you and I can't do nothing to be right with God. You can't dress up enough. Listen, I don't know what I was thinking putting on a green shirt. I should have put a pink shirt on this morning. Because it's Mother's Day, right? And Mr. Wayne got it right. He's got a lot more experience than I do, right? That's I'm going to chalk it up to that. But listen, I don't know what I was thinking, but here's the thing, guys. You can't dress up enough to be right with God. You can't write your check fat enough to be right with God. Now, you can help the church out if you want to do that. But here's the thing. Your tithes don't make you right with God. I'm going to tell you something else. I got a great mama. But my mama don't make me right with God. Jesus Christ is the one who makes me right with God. His perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection. Now, what I love about what Luke does here, because we don't see it this way in the other Gospels, I love what Luke does here, because here's what we see another heart of Jesus' ministry. So the heart of Jesus' ministry is to proclaim the good news to the people. But look at this. Equipping and evolving people, right? Involving people like the 12 disciples and a group of women to serve in the kingdom of God was also at the heart of Jesus' ministry. Jesus could have done it all by himself, but he didn't. You know what he did? He invited some men to come and be his disciples. And you know what else he did? He invited some women to come and be a part of his kingdom ministry. I love this. Equipping and enabling and involving people. Luke is very clear that these men and these women were called by Jesus and equipped by Jesus to use their gifts in kingdom ministry. I love that, don't you? So here's the thing. If you can see me today, and if you can hear my voice today, and even if you can't, I'm going to tell you the truth about God's word. Everybody is invited to, first of all, be a child of God, and second of all, to serve in kingdom ministry for God. Everybody. Ain't nobody left out. Nobody. So there's no excuse. That's the uh-oh. That's the uh-oh. There's no excuse. What excuse do you have? What excuse can you give God? Well, I can't serve in kingdom ministry. I can't. You're right. But God can to you and through you. So nobody's got an excuse when it comes to giving God your heart and giving God your life and serving God by serving people, because we see it right here in this passage of scripture before Jesus is about to tell a very important story, a parable. You ready? Verse 4. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. So this is a very difficult passage. First of all, because it's a parable. And then it's difficult because we see why Jesus teaches in parables. So first of all, many, many times, and as we're going to see throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus taught using parables. Now, I love what pastor and theologian Warren Wiersbe said. Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary, a parable is simply a story that takes place along one thing for the purpose of teaching. So it's a story that comes alongside of one thing or one purpose to teach the purpose of God. And so I love that. And so many people ask all the time, why did Jesus have to teach in parables? Sometimes they're hard to understand. Even in Jesus' day, there were people that would say, why are you speaking like this? Why are you speaking in parables? And even the disciples, right? They're right there with Jesus and they're going, hey, what did you mean by that? And I love what Jesus said, because the way Jesus spoke, he actually answered that question. Have you ever asked that question? Why did Jesus use parables? He actually gives us the answer right here. And here it is. Jesus' parables had a twofold purpose. You ready? It's real simple. To reveal and to conceal. When Jesus used parables, it was a twofold purpose. One, to reveal truth, and also to conceal truth. And you're going, wait a minute. Why would Jesus conceal truth? Well, again, I love the way seasoned veteran pastors have said it. And Pastor R.C. Sproul is one of my favorite. I love listening to him preach. I love reading his books. And I love what he says. Pastor R.C. Sproul says Jesus' parables would reveal the hidden things, the secret things of the kingdom of God, and he would explain and clarify his teaching to the hearts who were receptive to him. So the parable was to reveal truth and to reveal hidden things about the kingdom and secret things of the kingdom to those who received him. But, right? His parables would hide or conceal truth of the kingdom of God to those whose hearts were already hardened to Jesus and those who rejected Jesus as the Son of God. Does that make sense? So when Jesus spoke in parables, Jesus knew the people that were there. He knew those who were there to truly hear from God and those who wanted their ears tickled. Those who just wanted to bow up and have their positions, right, magnified and solidified. Jesus knew who was there, and he knew those who truly wanted to hear his voice and those who just wanted to use his words against him and against God. Jesus knew that. And so when he taught in parables, he taught to reveal truth to those who received him and to conceal truth from those who rejected him. And in this parable, Jesus highlights three things. And I think it's very clear. You see it, right? He highlights the sower, he highlights the seed, and he highlights the soil. So what is Jesus trying to tell us using the sower, the seed, and the soil? Well, let's look at Jesus' words, right? Because I think he can explain it a whole lot better than I can. So let's let him do it. You ready? His disciples said, "What do you mean teaching this?" And Jesus said, "This is the meaning of the parable." Verse 11. "The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, don't miss that, who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." What a powerful, powerful parable. And I agree with Jesus, and I claim what Jesus said, "Those who have ears, let them hear." My prayer is that you have the ears today to hear, that the Spirit of God has opened you up so that you can know the truth of what Jesus was saying. So let's talk about the sower, the seed, and the soil. Very simple. The sower is the Lord. The sower is the Lord. He is the one sowing the seed. The seed is the Word of God. What did Jesus proclaim? The Word of God. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. He was proclaiming the Word of God. So the sower is the Lord, the seed is the Word, and the soil is the heart. The heart of who? The heart of those who are hearing. The heart of those who are hearing. So he wanted his disciples to know the truth. He wanted them to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And it starts with the fundamental elements. These fundamental elements and who and what they represent. So you might even call the sower the farmer, right? Because at the beginning, he says a farmer went out to sow his seed. So the farmer and the sower is the same thing. It's the Lord, right? And the sower has seed. And here it is. The seed is good. There is no bad seed. You say, well, some seed fell here and some seed fell there and nothing grew or nothing was produced. It ain't the seed's fault. You find it for me and show me that it's the seed's fault. Guess what? You ain't going to do that because it ain't the seed's fault and it ain't the sower's fault. It's the soil, right? Listen, The seed has life in and of itself. The seed has the power to produce fruit. The seed is powerful. It all comes down to the soil, and the soil represents what? Whose heart? Everybody say this two-letter word. My. The soil represents whose heart? My heart. That's right. And so Jesus tells us that there are four hearts, right? Four souls, four hearts. You ready? Number one, the hard heart. That is the soil along the path that is beaten down and hardened. Then there's the casual heart. The casual heart is the soil that is rocky and shallow. Got a little bit of dirt, but not enough to really sustain anything. And then there is the crowded heart. That's the third soil. The crowded heart. That is the soil that is thorny. It's got thorns that grow up and produce in it. And then there's the fourth heart, and I like to call this the ready heart. The ready heart. This is the good heart. It is in good soil. So the hardened heart, as we see in this passage, is not penetrated by the seed and what happens to it. Jesus very clearly says, you know, when he first told the parable, he said a bird comes along and takes it. But when he explained the truth to disciples, who did he say would take that word away? Were you listening? Do I need to say that again, Miss Wanda? Say it loud. He said the devil. He said the devil comes and takes it away. And when the devil takes it away, what happens to that heart? It cannot be what? Saved. It cannot be saved. That's what it says, right? And so that's the hardened heart. Then you got the casual heart, right? So the casual heart is one that makes a superficial response. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah says. He says the casual heart, the heart right on the rocky soil, is what he likes to call the emotional response. We get caught up in the emotion, right? The emotion gets us, and we never truly open up our heart. We only open up our emotion. We get caught up in the crying. We get caught up in the clapping. We get caught up in the lights and the sounds. That's the casual heart. And then he goes on and he talks about the crowded heart. And Jesus gives us, he only gives us three, right? But I think it covers everything. What crowds our hearts? What's the possibility? He says, the worries, the riches, and the pleasures. Now, I want you to think about those three things. The worries, the riches, and the pleasures. I can pretty much classify everything in my life in one of those three ways. And they're all fighting for my attention. They're all fighting for my sacrifice. You know what they're fighting for? My heart. They're fighting for my heart. They're crowding my heart. That's what they're doing. And so the crowded heart is overwhelmed by worries, overwhelmed by riches, overwhelmed by pleasures. And you know what this heart does? This heart hears and is impressed by what it hears, but it never bears fruit. Why does it not bear fruit? Because it says that it is choked, right? It's choked by the worries, choked by the riches, choked by the pleasures, the things of this world. And then we got the good heart, right? The good heart, what I like to call the ready heart. I call it the ready heart because it has been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God to receive the seed. Again, Pastor R.C. Sproul, in his commentary, he says this: Jesus wasn't saying that only good people can respond to the gospel. You want to know why Jesus didn't say that? Because none of us would get to respond. Because there ain't nobody in this building that's good. I love my mama. I love my wife. But compared to Christ, nope. Nobody in this building is good. Jeff ain't preached a long enough sermon, enough sermons, and enough years at Start Baptist Church to be qualified as good. Be careful with your words. Be careful of who you're comparing to. You might say, well, compared to this person and that person, my mama's good, my wife is good, my husband's good, my daddy's good. Well, maybe so when you're comparing to this person, that person, but compare them to Jesus Christ. What you got to say now? What can I say now? So I love what R.C. Sproul says. He says Jesus wasn't saying only good people can respond to the gospel. He was talking about the soil, the heart. So the good soil is soil that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. And the soil will determine whether the seed that is life will germinate and bear fruit. Wow. See, here's what I see today. And I wish there was a mirror in front of me so I could see myself too, right? Here's what I see today. I see hearts of human beings today. Not that organ in your body pumping blood. I see hearts in this building. I see souls today that have been created by God for God. But I also see sinners. And our sin has separated us from God. And we need God to do something about it because we can't. Well, God has done something about it. God has made a way. His name is Jesus. And the soil, the heart of who we are, that is what determines what happens to the seed. And I'm going to tell you something. I pray for lost souls to be saved all the time. I got family that I want to see saved. I got friends. I got people in this community I want to see saved. Me and my running buddies, we pray together, and we know we got buddies that run with us that we believe need the Lord, and so we're praying for them to be saved. But listen to me. I've been praying a different way. I've been praying a different way lately. Here's what I've been praying. Lord, may your spirit work on the heart of him. Work on the heart of her, because I know the only way this man, this woman, this boy, this girl is going to say yes to you is if you speak to them. If you prepare their heart so that when they do hear the word of God proclaimed, their heart is ready to receive it. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how to pray. I'm just telling you that's the way I've been praying. That's the way I've been praying for lost souls to be saved. Not so that they would hear Jeff preach the gospel. I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would prepare their hearts so that maybe if someone shares the word of God with them, their soil is ready to receive it. So that seed can germinate and actually bear fruit. Because here's the truth, right? If you want to know the purpose of this sermon that Jesus preached, if you want to know the purpose of this parable that Jesus taught, it's really simple. The purpose of this parable was for Jesus to share his heart that he was after the heart of people. So if somebody asked me, Brother Jeff, what does this parable mean? That's what it means. Jesus wanted to share his heart that he was after the heart of you and me. Jesus wants our heart. He wants the center of our being, where everything sits, where everything is connected, our physical, our mental, our spiritual. Jesus is after our hearts. That's what he's after. Jesus was scattering the seed everywhere he went. He wanted the seed to be planted in the hearts of man and woman and boy and girl. Why? So that it would bear the fruit of the kingdom. Fruit that would glorify God and fruit that would last. Now, listen, you can hear my words and be okay, but don't take my words for it. Go read the Gospel of John. Go read the Gospel of John and see what he says about the fruit of the kingdom. And fruit that will last, eternal fruit. Why would he say anything about fruit that will last, eternal fruit? I believe he will say that because of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. When you and I were created, we weren't just created for 2025. We weren't just created for Start, Louisiana, as much as we love it. We were created with eternity in our hearts. Listen, 2025 is 1 year. Eternity is all time. Start is one little place on the map. Eternity is the only place that matters. That's why Jesus did this. He shared his heart, that he was after the hearts of people. So here's what I want to ask you. Okay? What kind of heart do you have? In this room today, what kind of heart do you have? What kind of soil are you? Here's the thing. You ain't got to look around. I don't believe you have to ask questions. I think you know. I think you know what kind of heart you have. I think you know what kind of soil the Lord is dealing with. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just asking you to evaluate yourself. Because here's the thing. I can't judge you. I can't know you. But I can sure tell you the truth. I've been empowered and called to tell you the truth. So I'm asking you right now to evaluate your heart. I'm asking you to dig deep right now, if you can, and evaluate the soil of your life. Is your heart hardened like that path right now? When the seed was scattered, it had nowhere to go because the devil came and took it away, and there is no salvation? Is your heart today, is it rocky, right? Is it really shallow right now? And so there's no way for roots to dig deep, and there's no way for fruit to be born? Is your heart crowded right now? Is it crowded with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this world, and so there's no way to bear fruit for the kingdom because you're too busy bearing fruit for the world? And Jesus said there's an either or. You either a good tree bearing good fruit, or you a bad tree bearing bad fruit. There ain't no middle ground. I wish it was. I sometimes go, man, I wish it was, because I look over here, I'm like, that ain't good. And I look over here, I'm like, thank you for that. No, Jesus said there, it's either or. Are you the soil that's been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God? The soil that's been cultivated, turned over, so that seed, when it hits, right, it's in the ground, and man, it's good, and it digs deep, and it grows strong, and then fruit just multiplies off the branches. You know, in this passage, this is kind of neat. You can know by your fruit. So I asked you that question, what kind of heart do you have? Here's the thing. The reason I said I think you know is because you can know by your fruit. And again, Jeff ain't making this up. Jesus said it. I'm going to tell you in a minute. In this passage, it says that the seed will bear fruit. Did you see that? In this parable, in this passage, Jesus said the seed will bear fruit. It didn't say it might. It said it will. As a matter of fact, Luke said it'll bear fruit 100 times over. Now, if you go to Matthew's gospel, Matthew says some will bear 30 times over, some will bear 60 times over, and some will bear 100 times over. I like Luke, man. Luke's like, hey, it'll bear 100 times over. He don't even give us the option of 30 and 60. He said, no, you're going to bear 100 times over. Here's my point. Where in the gospel does it say zero? Anybody? Thank you, Chris. Nowhere. And I've looked. I spent all week looking, reading as much scripture as I could. Nowhere in the gospel does it say the seed that is the word of God planted in your heart will bear zero fruit. Nowhere. I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm going to. That's scary. That's scary. My Bible says that the word of God will not return void. That's what it says. The word of God will not return void. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah says. Dr. David Jeremiah says, none of the first three hearts underwent genuine salvation. The proof of salvation is not merely listening to the word. It is not merely emotionally responding to the word. The proof of salvation is in its fruit. The proof of salvation is not coming to church and listening to a good sermon and going, man, that was good. The proof of salvation is not coming and going, man, I cried today. Oh, man, you hit me right here. That's not the proof of salvation. The proof of salvation is the fruit that gives God glory in your life. Not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday all day, Wednesday all day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in your house, in your workplace, in the restaurant. Hey, listen, this week, I hate when this happens, but I love when this happens. So this week, I went to a place, and I'm not going to say it out loud, but I know this young lady knows. So I went to this place, and there was a man and a woman standing in front of me, and they were mad. And here's what he said. I wish y'all would get your acts together. I wish y'all would hurry up. I've been standing here for 10 minutes. Wow, that's a long time, ain't it? 10 minutes. Whew. I know I don't like waiting 10 minutes for some things too. But he was berating this woman, verbally abusing this woman. I'm going to tell y'all, your pastor had to dig deep, okay? Because I wanted to walk right up here and say, man, you need to shut your mouth. You don't need to talk to nobody. Listen to me. Your pastor had to confess, Jesus, this is what I'm thinking, and it ain't right. But here's what Jesus said. You tell that woman that she's doing a great job when you get to her. And you tell her that you're praying for her. That's what he told me. I kid you not. So I let him do his thing. I could tell that that girl was about ready to just be in tears. When I walked up there, I said, here's what I need. And she did her thing. And when she came back, I said, please look at me in the eye. And she looked at me and I said, you're doing a wonderful job. And I don't know what your circumstances are back there. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you something. I prayed for you right then, and I'm going to keep praying for you. And you just keep being who you are.
Amen.
See, here's what I thought. I thought, okay, this was a woman created in the image of God. He was created by God for God. And right now, she's hurting. And she may not feel like she can glorify God, but she can. I told her, I said, thank you for smiling at me. I said, your smile just made my day. And you know, she teared up. She said, thank you. I said, no, thank you. It's not an emotional response. The proof of salvation is in your fruit. Do you see people the way Jesus sees people? Are you talking to people the way Jesus talked to people? Are you touching people? Are you serving people? Are you loving people the way Jesus did? The proof of your salvation is in your fruit. You know what Jesus said? He said a lot in Matthew chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm just going to read the last verse. But in Matthew chapter 7, a passage, verses 15 through 20, if you want to spell check me or truth check me. You know what Jesus said? Twice in that passage. You know what he said? He said, you will know them by their fruit. He didn't say you would know them by their emotional response. He said, you will know them by their fruit. So my question again is, what's the state of your heart today? What's the soil look like in your life? Has the Holy Spirit of God cultivated it, plowed it, and prepared it for that seed to germinate and bear fruit that glorifies God? Not you, not me, not Start Baptist Church, but to glorify God. Is it seed that has been planted that bears fruit for the kingdom, fruit that will last? And here's the thing. If you look at your heart and you go, you know what? I don't feel the roots. I don't see the roots. I don't feel the fruit. I don't see the fruit. It's not me calling you out. It's me just asking, right? Did you make some kind of emotional response to the word? Did it just sound good? Did it impress you? And you go, yeah, I like that. I'll take some of that. And it never really penetrated your heart. Because here's the truth, right? And I agree with Dr. David Jeremiah. Those first three soils, where did it say any of those bore fruit? It didn't. None of them bore fruit. Oh, maybe a plant grew, but it died. And there was never any fruit. Only one of those soils, only one of those hearts bore fruit. Proof of salvation, proof of a genuine heart change and conversion. And it was the heart that was ready the heart prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. So here's my prayer this morning. My prayer is that every one of you in this room that sees me and hears me, you have a heart that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit, and the seed has been scattered and planted in your heart, and you've received it, and you can look and say, I see the fruit that glorifies God. I see the fruit that is eternal. I praise God for that, and I pray that that's you. But if you're in this room today and you don't see that, I'm not praying that you come down this morning and take Brother Jeff's hand so that Brother Jeff can show the church, oh, this person got saved and that person got saved. Here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God prepares your heart and readies your heart. And maybe it was for the seed that was scattered this morning. But maybe it's for seed that will be scattered later. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give you another day, another week, another month. I'm praying that in his time, because that's what it said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, everything's made beautiful in its time. Not Jeff's time. This ain't about how many people can we baptize this week or this month or this year. This ain't about how many people we can say, look how our church is getting, people getting saved. That's not what it's about. It's about the kingdom of God getting the glory. It's about Jesus Christ getting the glory. Do we want to see people saved? Absolutely. But it starts with how we pray and how often we pray and what we're praying for. I want the Holy Spirit of God to prepare hearts so that when the seed is scattered, whether it's this sower, your pastor, or it's that Sunday school sower, or it's that church member sower out there at the post office or at the gas station, or standing in line in front of somebody like me talking to a woman at a register. See, every one of us can scatter the seed, can't we? Every one of us can be sowers. And the seed is the word of God. What we got to pray for is for hearts ready. Ready to receive it. But here's the thing. Jesus scattered that seed wherever he went. Knowing that some of it was going to fall on some hard soil. Some rocky soil and some thorny soil. He scattered it anyway, didn't he? So here's the other thing. We don't pick and choose. When and where to scatter the seed. We scatter it whenever and wherever. Amen?